God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Today, we're going to look at Luke 15 and the parable of the prodigal son. Dear friends in Christ, you are the prodigal child. Your heavenly Father is your loving daddy, and Jesus is your faithful brother. Today, we look at the parable of the prodigal son. Once upon a time, there was a young man who couldn't wait for his daddy to die. Oh, he didn't say so, but his actions spoke louder than words. The prodigal child believes that with his daddy out of the picture, life will be much more fun. The prodigal believes that real life is found without daddy in the picture, worshiping the pleasure God rather than the crucified and risen God. The prodigal believes life is found in going out, sleeping in, living it up, getting down, being a high roller and a low life. But the prodigal has a problem. Worshipping the pleasure God takes money. If only daddy would die. With daddy out of the picture, his money would be mine and life would be great. The prodigal doesn't want daddy in his life, just daddy's money. But since it didn't appear that daddy was going to die anytime soon, the prodigal comes to his father with this request. Dear dad, no mun, no fun, your son. Now, since an inheritance is normally given when someone dies, to ask a living father for your share of the inheritance is equivalent to saying, Daddy, I want your money more than I want you. Oh, how our sins can break our daddy's heart. The request must have broken his father's heart, but he knows that he can't force a relationship on his child. So he lets his child reject him in the hopes that someday his child will come back to his senses. Your heavenly Father will not force his love on you and me. His love is rejectable, which is exactly what the prodigal does with his father's love. The father obliges, and the prodigal takes daddy's money and skedaddles to enjoy life in the fast lane. Jesus said the prodigal went off to a distant country. Where is your distant country? The college party scene? Following the high school herd? The casino, the internet downloads? The addictions, the illicit relationship, tree hugging. Your distant country is wherever you are looking for life without your father's love. Where is that for you and me? Jesus says the prodigal squandered his money on prostitutes and wild living. He tried all the fun money can buy, wild parties, wild women. He drank hard and played hard. He lived like we're all tempted to believe that life is found in pleasing your nerve endings, your taste buds, your brain belly button, and your brain waves. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The prodigal's mantra could be summed up in the old surfer's t-shirt, life's a beach, and then you die. Then again, you might be wrong. Jesus says that life doesn't end at the grave, either for the believer or the unbeliever. John 5, a day is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, and they will come out of their graves, some to everlasting life, others to everlasting damnation. If you believe that this life is all that there is and that it ends at the grave, then either you're wrong or Jesus is wrong, and I'm betting it's not Jesus. The prodigal son soon discovers that when you try to please the pleasure God, it takes a lot of money, it leaves you with a lot of scars, and it doesn't get you out of your grave alive. Thus, it's only a matter of time until the prodigal finds himself dead broke, and I mean dead broke. And when the money runs out, so do the friends. Prodigals have a way of deserting each other when the fun ends. It's just a matter of time until the prodigal realizes that life without his daddy's love, life without our Heavenly Father's love, is actually a life of emptiness, loneliness, meaninglessness, and scars. The question is, how many wounds will it take to realize you have a father who never stopped loving you? And you have a saving brother who's been wounded too, and he's been wounded for you. To make matters worse, when the prodigal's money runs out, the economy takes a downturn. Who says God doesn't have a sense of humor? So how will the prodigal survive? His first thought is that going back to Daddy, going back to our Heavenly Father, is out of the question. Finally, he lands a minimum wage job slopping hogs. His job is a picture of where sin leads us to. It leads us to the pigs, with nothing to show except pig stink. What a change from playboy to swineherd. The prodigal has hit rock bottom. He couldn't even afford a decent meal. We're told, and starving to death, he longed to eat what the pigs ate. Sometimes our Heavenly Father has to let our lives go to the pigs, if that's what it takes to bring us to our senses, that is, to repentance. God allows deep hurt to drive us back to his deep love, so that in repentance we yearn for the love that God won't force on us, a love that we abandoned. And it worked. Our text says, when the young man came to his senses. If you and I have to lose everything to come to our senses and remember that we have a father who never stopped loving us, then God will let you lose everything. The Lord had to use what I like to call extreme mercy to get the prodigal to see what his sins had cost him. God's heaven, yet God's loving hand is what led the prodigal to repent. So the prodigal says to himself, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and returned to his father. Now notice what's going on below the surface. The Bible says it is the Father's kindness that leads you to repentance. Jesus says in John 6, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. No decision theology here. The prodigal didn't decide to be loved again by his father. No, he came to his senses, repentance, that he always was loved by his father, but that he had turned his back on his daddy's love. But now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he concludes that it's better to eat humble pie than pig slop. And humble pie is a lot like eating spinach. It doesn't always taste good, but it's good for you. There in the pigsty, humble pie, repentance, the prodigal came to his senses. It's the same for all prodigals. Repentance is a coming to your senses. It is a changing of your brain regarding your sin. It's a turning and returning to the Father who never stopped loving you. So the prodigal sets out on his long, dusty road back to Daddy, not knowing what to expect. He had trashed his father's love, squandered his inheritance on prostitutes, and essentially wished that his daddy would be dead. As he walks, he rehearses what he's going to say to Daddy. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. Notice closely. The The prodigal has both a confession of sins. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he has a deal. Make me like one of your hired men. Tuck that away for a moment. This brings us to the most amazing verse in the story. Verse 20 says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kept on kissing him." Remember, the father represents our heavenly father, and the prodigal represents us. As often as you confess your sins, as often as you return to your loving daddy, prepare to be received, embraced, and forgiven. Check it out, prodigals. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him coming. If you read between the lines, you get the picture of the father who wants his child back so badly, he sits out on the front porch every night until the sun goes down, watching the road, waiting for his child to return. He drinks his morning coffee with his nose pressed against the living room picture window, longing for his child to come back. And then one day he sees a speck on the horizon that seems to walk a lot like his child. A loving daddy knows these details, and his heart begins to flutter. As the speck grows closer, his eyes are about to burst out of their sockets as he sees the silhouette of his child. He drops his coffee mug on the floor and runs out to meet his son as fast as his little old legs can carry him. And he embraces his returning child with the biggest bear hug. And he can't stop kissing his child. Remember, you are the prodigal, and the daddy is your heavenly father. It's at this point that the prodigal remembers his confession and his deal. So he starts to recite his speech. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." There's the confession of sins. Notice the father doesn't keep his son from confessing his sins. It actually is restorative to every fiber of our being to confess our sins and then have our confession answered with the relentless, reckless, undeserved love of a daddy who never stopped loving us and thus forgives us. This is restorative. This is how relationships are healed. So the father allows his son's confession, looking forward to forgiving his son. I want to make sure you see something critical at this point. The prodigal never gets to the deal. Make me like one of your hired men. The father will hear none of that from his child. Before his child ever gets to the deal, his father breaks in, "Shh, baby. It's okay. All I care about is having you back." Remember, you and I are the prodigals, and our heavenly father is the daddy. But wait, there's another huge point you have to see. Notice where the son is exactly when he makes his confession. He's already in his father's embrace. His daddy's arms are already wrapped around him. He's already being kissed. When you and I come to make our confession, how do we know we will be heard and forgiven? We've already been embraced by our Heavenly Father, who never stopped loving us and sent His only Son, our big brother Jesus, to the cross even before we repented, even before we make our confession. How do you know you will be forgiven when you return to the Father? Because you and I were already forgiven by Him before we repented. This is how loved we are. But sometimes God has to use pig stink, scars, and the long, dusty road of repentance to bring us back to our Father's loving embrace. And so the prodigal never gets to the deal, because there's no wheeling and dealing when it comes to a Father's love. His love and grace are free, unending, no strings attached. So the father stills his child before he ever gets to the deal. We have a father who's never done giving his gifts to us. So now the father lays it on thick. Quick, bring the best robe, which means the prodigal is back in the father's good graces. Put sandals on his feet, which means the prodigal is back in the father's home. Put a ring on his finger, which means the prodigal is back in the father's inheritance. Kill the fattened calf and prepare a feast, for this child of mine was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive, which means the prodigal is back in the father's family. Pure grace without any merit or worthiness in us. Now get this. Our Heavenly Father didn't kill a fattened calf to welcome us back. He put his only faithful son to death for you and me. And in the Father's house, there is a feast of victory to welcome prodigals back. We feast on nothing less than the body and blood of our saving brother, Jesus. This big brother, our big brother, Jesus, is not ticked off at us, but he's tickled pink that we, the prodigals, are forgiven and back home. Come to your senses. Repent of all the ways you've squandered your father's love in the distant country of your sins. Throw yourself into your father's loving embrace and receive his mercy. Your daddy's arms are open wide. Your big brother Jesus has borne your pig stink to the distant country of the cross and has forgiven you so that you are daddy's kids again. Though we return 1,000 times with the stink of sin, dirty rags, worthless excuses, what is our Father's response? He ran to us, took us in his arms, held our head to his chest, and said, "My child's come home again." He lifted our face, wiped the tears from our eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, daughter, do you know I still love you?" Today, your Heavenly Father still holds you in his brace and says, "Shh, baby. It's all right. I'm just glad to have you back. Now hear me. You are no longer a prodigal. You are my son. You are my daughter. And our father's love and our big brother's love restores us and reinvigorates us to no longer want to live against our daddy and our loving brother. Having returned from the pig stink to a father and a savior who never stopped loving us, we are changed. It is in our father's embrace and in our savior's forgiveness that real life is to be found. Your heavenly father is so happy to have you back that he throws the feast to end all feasts, the feast of his son's body and blood that has restored us to the father. For in this feast, we are not only feasting on Jesus' forgiveness, but in the Father's pure delight to have us back. All a foretaste of that party that will end all parties, that is already being prepared for us in heaven, when our Heavenly Father will run to greet us upon our arrival, hold us in his arms, keep on kissing us, and he will forever rejoice over us as we forever rejoice over him. That's what loving daddies and restored children do. All in Jesus.